Definitions are important. It gives us a starting point. Definitions guide us and direct us how to view things. Some new definitions for words you may already know. Calories, the tiny creatures that live in your closet and sew your clothes a little tighter every night. Study, the act of texting, eating, and watching YouTube with an open textbook nearby. A latte, Italian for you paid too much for that coffee. Vegetarian, a Latin phrase from centuries ago. Its original meaning is a really bad hunter. Tomorrow, the best time to do everything you had planned to do today. Feet, a device used for finding Legos in the dark. And love, giving someone the last piece of cake, no matter how much you want it. Now let's get ready to find the most powerful word on the planet. That word, love, is the most important word in the human language, and yet it's hard for us to define. People say, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my job. I even love my church. I love my dog. I love my Harley. I love your hair. I love your nails, and I love your dress. And I even love pizza. Here's a love letter that I'm just not sure about. Here's what it says. Dear Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery. How would you define love there? There are so many love definitions out there. Remember, definitions guide and direct us. They are our starting points. If our definition is wrong, the longer we go with it, the further off course we'll get. And that will affect our relationships with people and with God. A group of 4 to 8-year-olds were asked, what does love mean? Here are some of their answers. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. That was Billy, age 4. Terry, age 4, says, love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Carl, age 5, said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Chrissy, who's age 6, defines love like this. Love is when you go out to eat, give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. And here's Rebecca, age 8. It's when my grandmother got arthritis. She couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather did it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's what love is, Rebecca says. These are cute, but we don't need cute. We need accurate. The Bible doesn't disappoint. It defines love for us. And in fact, it gives a whole chapter on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's verses 4 through 11. Love is patient. Love is kind, it's not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own and is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered and does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, and even reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. Let's pause at that last part. When Paul says, when I was a child, I think it's important that Paul puts this there. Why? It's a call to put away childish ways you look at love. It's a call to retire your high school letter jacket and act like an adult in relationships and define love the right way. That's the context. It's real love up against childish speaking, thinking, and reasoning. Paul gives us the grown-up version of what love really is. Love is patient, he says. He says love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love will always protect, always trust, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. There is a lot here for what love is. That's why when you say, I love you, it is a big deal, especially if it's the Bible definition. Thomas A. Kempis was right when he said, whoever loves much does much. The word Paul uses for love is agape. In Your Father Loves You by J.I. Packer, he points out that the Greek word agape seems to have been virtually a Christian invention, a new word for a new thing. It is almost non-existent before the New Testament. Agape draws its meaning directly from the revelation of God in Christ. Agape is not an emotional word or affection. It has a much deeper motivation. Agape operates by choice rather than feeling. It is natural to love those who love us, but it is supernatural agape to love those who hate us. C.S. Lewis explained it this way: love is not affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be obtained. That's agape. That's love. Let's define it that way.